Anthony Bourdain was probably one of the funniest, coolest, most down-to-earth TV personalities that I've ever been around. I've ever
and
watched.
Well-traveled.
Most definitely. This guy lived a life that I could only dream of, that anybody could only dream of. He ate the foods I want to eat. He went to the places I want to go. He saw the things that I want to see, and hopefully in my life I can do half of what this guy did. Today we're going to talk about Anthony Bourdain and his life and travel. Man, this is a kind of a tough one. This is a different one, huh?
Talking about the Bourdain and the man, the myth, the legend, and how much we're going to miss him and how much we want to honor his memory by having a little, just a short little mini episode about
tribute to his life.
Tribute to his life and well-traveled chef and just to have been half the places he's been and
I've never
had the experiences.
Yeah, I never really read any books, but this is probably one of the only books that I've read in my life. The book that he published, that was a New York Times bestseller book. He got a TV show immediately after that. When I really got into him, the way that I found this book was by watching No Reservations, and I think it was on the Travel Channel. And come on, man. You're a kid watching the Travel Channel. It's like the Food Network. You're like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't want to be watching this. You know what I mean? This is stuff that nobody wants to really watch. And then you watch his show, and you're like, holy shit, he's like a rock star. And then he makes you want to try these foods that he's eating. He makes you jealous about where he's going in a good way. Like, he's not an arrogant asshole or anything, but like, it's just like he did everything so cool. He ate everything that you wanted to eat. He actually got me into sushi. And yeah, and he's the rock star of food, man. And to take his own life on the top of his fucking, the top of his career, you know, when he was winning awards and doing all this stuff, it's just sad. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
And now I'm a huge foodie myself, and I know Mark is an incredible chef. So I knew who Anthony Bourdain was, and I kind of followed his work, but not nearly as close as our good friend and co-host Mark here. So I'm kind of, you know, just feed off of you. I'm going to feed you questions and kind of see what, if we can get a feel for how he affected the people that followed him. Like, where was your first experience? When did you first, that you can remember?
So when London was born, my daughter's 9 years old now, and the Travel Channel came on. It was No Reservations, and I really started to get into like cooking my own food because I was super overweight. Like, I weighed 250 pounds, and I wanted to, at 5'8", that's a lot, you know? And
yeah,
so I wanted
a fair amount of weight.
Yeah, so I started watching the Food Network and the Travel Channel, and all the shows sucked. They suck so bad. And then his show would come on, No Reservations, and all of a sudden it was like this really hip, cool, laid-back show of this guy traveling, and he would like drink all the time. He'd get drunk and like party, and he would, but I mean, like, just in a super cool professional way. And he'd come to find out he's like a really good chef. And so this chef, he would go like to a foreign country, and he wouldn't eat like the crazy nasty things that most people watch TV shows for, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we're gonna watch this guy eat bad shit. Like, no, he would.
Although he did eat some,
yeah, he ate some crazy shit,
interesting things.
But like, he did full shows on street food, like street food in New York, street food in the States, and then he did street food over in, you know, abroad in other countries. And it just like, you sit back and you're on your couch in Minnesota, and you're like, fuck, like there's so much out there.
Well,
and
sometimes
he was our eyes and ears out there. Yeah,
sometimes, you know, going through that stuff. Sometimes some of the, that you mentioned street food, you know, sometimes some of the best food, you can, maybe not the best for you, but the best food you can find comes off of street vendors.
That was his thing, too. He was like, you know what? I've eaten in all the top restaurants, 5 Michelin stars, all that shit. He's like, I'd rather eat off this food truck. I'd rather eat street food. And that's how you knew he was fucking cool, you know? And it looked like, you know, now watching it and seeing that he committed suicide, it's like you could see that there's a lot of pain behind his eyes. And it just sucks. It just really goes to show, because like those experiences that I had with him when my daughter was born, and like, you can't leave the house when you have a newborn baby. You can't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, you're up all night,
exactly.
And all that shit.
I know that feeling.
And so literally I watched his shows all the time. And of course he was the best show on there. So they'd have like marathons on. They'd play a whole season at a time. And then Netflix and all that stuff, you know, picked up his seasons. You guys should go check out anything you can of his. It's just amazing. And then the cooking really, really, really started to shine through. I learned how to plate because of the way he would plate food. I learned that when you cook a steak, whenever you cook a steak and you bring a steak off, Anthony Bourdain said, I would rather eat and fucking bite into a lukewarm ass steak than eat a steak that came hot off the grill. Because as soon as you cut into that fucking thing, juices go all over the place. So he's like, I will let my steak rest a minimum of 7 minutes after I pull it off. Chicken, steak, all that stuff.
Really?
And he said, if you do not let it rest and let all those juices come in, you lose all your flavor. You lose all the shit. And like, I just remember these things that I use every day because of this guy. And I know that sounds small, but it's food. So it translates to everything and everybody. And this guy was so cool and so amazing. And it just sucks because, like, you see all these entertainers out here today that suck dick so bad. And I'm not going to say I wish they'd die, but like, like, it just sucks. Like, we lost another fucking icon in his field of work, you know?
Exactly. Now, another question I wanted to ask you, because I know that you're an incredible chef in your own right. You do a lot of, you've done a lot of cooking for me. You've done a lot of cooking, period. I've tasted
not,
your food.
Not really an incredible chef, but.
But you're, I would say you're pretty damn good. I would eat your food anywhere. But
Eric's favorite meal is the number 3 at McDonald's. Just to say that out loud. Okay, go ahead, Eric. No, sure. I appreciate it.
Motherfucker. But now, with your love of food and cooking, would you say Anthony Bourdain had a lot to do with your...
Probably everything to do with it. And I'm not just... I'm honestly...
Extension of your...
I'm not saying that
interest?
Just because of what just happened, but he's literally all the main reason. Like, that I... Even, like, I want to buy a food truck. That's a dream of mine. That's something that I'm going to do. That's something that I'm saving for. And it would never have became, like, people live their lives with passions, right? Like, you have a passion for whatever. We have a passion for our podcast, you know, that maybe no one will ever listen to. But it's not like we'll stop doing
all
it.
All 7 listeners. Yeah. Thank you very much for
thank you,
subscribing.
Guys. But we'll keep making them because it's our passion, right? Well, like, with food, it was always cool. Because, like, what you said, like, remember you had a big party at your house. You have, like, 2 of them. And I cooked for like 15, 20 people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like,
it was amazing.
To have the smile that you get on someone's face when you serve them a dish, it's kind of like and that's why Anthony Bourdain is like a rock star to me. And he was a rock star to a lot of people. Because when you go to a concert or an amazing show, you leave that show like, God, that was fucking badass. That was a badass rock show, right?
Yep.
When you leave one of his restaurants or if you left the food that he cooked, it was like, God, that was that fucking dude. Like, wow, that was amazing food. Like, he put it all together, served us all. It was so good. And that all came, like, my passion. I found a new passion thanks to him. And I fed my family and I feed my family better thanks to him. And if it wasn't for me just watching No Reservations and now the show that he had on CNN, I wouldn't have had that. So that I really have a lot of thanks for him.
And I'm not much of a chef or a cook in my own right. I can hold my own, but my passion has always been grilling. So I've always gone. Right. I'm sorry, I have to say, shout out to Bobby Flay. I know you grew up a griller in New York when you
fuck
in a
Bobby
small
Flay.
Apartment
fuck
that
Bobby
you Flay. Could not have a propane grill on. So he actually took charcoal grills up to the roof. Of the
Bobby Flay fucking shout out show. What the fuck's going on right now?
I gotta get mine in, damn it.
No,
but anyways,
right.
I mean, you know,
he's amazing too.
It's bad to lose, you know, it's a terrible thing to lose anyone. But when you lose somebody who was so influential and who really seemed to enjoy life, you know, like so many others that have passed in the same manner that Anthony Bourdain, and that's kind of the reason why we wanted to give this little short episode as well, to really put the thought out there that, you know, Kate Spade went a few days before him, and she was famous in her own right. And then we lose Anthony Bourdain. We lost Robin Williams.
It's like, who's
next?
It's like, how many of these signs are we going to keep missing?
If it's hitting these people, obviously, you know, you're not alone. You know, there's people out there that want to help you, that want to do things for you. And I know this is probably shit that you hear a million times. But, you know, take the time out. Think about it. Think about the people that you might affect. The number to the suicide hotline, I've got it right here, is 1-800-273-8255. If you're thinking about it, even if you're not thinking about it and you're just, you know, super depressed and kind of going down that path, whatever the case may be, give them a call. They're open 24 hours a day. Talk to somebody before it gets too far, because regardless of what you think or the situations going on around you, they're never bad enough to end your own life. I've had this... You know, I speak from experience because I've had family members of mine that have gone out the same way, who literally have had everything to live for. And for some reason, it's not that the fault of the person who does it.
No, it's definitely a disease, right?
It's a disease. It's something that's so
inside of them.
I mean, I'm going to say it out loud. I had an uncle that committed suicide, and he went out that way, and he literally, his kids were doing great. You know, he was a farmer. His farm was doing amazing. Everything was going good for him. It's got to be. It's something that deep seated in your head that kind of gets to you. And if that's the case, whatever's going on in your life, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody, because there's people there that are going to help. And you know, you don't think there are, but you know, think about the people who you leave behind. You think they'll be better off without you? It's not true.
It's well said, man. It's really well said. And you know, you said it. You hit the nail on the head when you said if this man, Anthony Bourdain, that meant so much to so many people, so much to me, and I'm not the type of guy to sit there and watch things and do whatever. Like, he's a celebrity, who gives a shit, right? But it hurt me. It was like, why? Like, you know, like, it was always kind of comforting seeing that, oh, he has some new episodes out. That means I get some, like, it's kind of selfish, but it's like, oh, I get some good content. Like, oh, man, I get to go see what Anthony Bourdain did, or where he went eight, what cool things that I want to do in life down the road. And if someone like that is winning Emmys, and he's on a TV show, and he's a millionaire, he's traveling all around the world for free, eating all the best foods in the world for free, takes his own life. It's a disease that's living inside people that needs to be, you know, worked with and dealt with. My uncle just killed himself last year. He shot himself in the chest. He left notes for his family. He had two children. You know, he was kind of an uncle that we didn't really talk to, because he excluded himself from our family stuff, you know, and he actually, you know, I didn't see him. He wrote me on Facebook, gosh, I think like 5 years ago, and we talked a little bit, and then come to find out next, he shoots himself in the chest. And like, this was an uncle of mine that had a bunch of money at one point. He had lots of things going for him, and then he ended up doing some prison time, shot himself in the chest. Like, and it's scary, because you think about these things, and if our family does it, that means maybe something like that's living in us. And it just sucks. And if it's from and it just goes to show that, like, oh, these people just get super depressed and they're super sad about something and they kill each other, they kill themselves. It's like, no, that's not it at all. This is something that they think about all the time. They contemplate it all the time. It's something in their head that they think about doing all the fucking time. It's kind of like when someone's able to murder somebody else. That's what they think about all the time. So if you think about that, or if you're thinking about that, ever, even if it's the thought crosses your mind and you can't handle it on your own, call the number Eric put out there and go talk to somebody.
Exactly. And I'd like to say too, you know, back in, this was many, many years ago when I was a real young boy, my dad and mom had some really good friends of theirs, and one of them was a dentist. But the thing about it is, though, that he was a Green Beret medic in the Army during the Vietnam conflict. And I can only imagine the kind of stuff that he saw when he was over there. But I remember it was a couple of days before Christmas. He came over, and me and my brother absolutely adored this guy. You know, he was like another uncle to us, you know, or another family member. And he said, you know what, I won't be around tomorrow, but I'll be around the day after to come and see what you guys got. Well, on the 23rd of December, he ended up ending his own life. And I fully believe that it was caused by PTSD. So me, myself, being a veteran, if there's any other veterans out there, or just any other military service people, I don't care what branch you're in, Coast Guard, National Guard, doesn't matter. If you're suffering from something and you just can't get it rattled out of your head, get in contact with somebody. Talk to your CO. Talk to somebody. I don't care. Talk to a friend of yours and friends of theirs. And this goes for civilians and military alike. You know, if your friend's talking like this, or mentions it, or even says the words out loud, you know, whatever the case may be, doesn't even have to be that much. Get them in contact with somebody. Tell somebody. Get them some help.
Yeah, well said, man. And, you know, we wanted to keep this one short just to talk about, you know, just to give him a quick tribute. Obviously, we talk about things that are gross and disgusting and comedy and blah, blah, blah. And that's pretty much all we talk about. But when this one happened, you know, we felt the need to do a quick tribute to him. And I kind of wanted to hit on one of these quotes. It was an Anthony Bourdain quote, and man, this guy has so many. But one that really came across and that I remember the most is he said, Food is everything we are. It's an extension of a nationalist feeling, ethnic feeling, your personal history, your province, your region, your tribe, your grandma. It's inseparable from those from the get-go. I mean, the man was like a modern-day Gandhi of food, but at the same time, he had his own demons. He was a heroin addict. He was a drug addict. He was addicted to cocaine, heroin, you name it. He was addicted to it. He'd wake up in the morning and have to go find heroin to start his day while he was working in the kitchens. He was living in Baltimore, Maryland. And so this guy lived real struggles in his life and overcame so much shit. But in the end, this was just the one thing he couldn't overcome. So,
absolutely. You know, and Anthony, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss your just being on this planet with us here and doing the great things that you did. But it's a terrible thing. And I know he would say the same thing. If you're thinking about it, get some help. Please reach out.
Yeah. Well, hey, we love you, man. Thank you for even letting us do the show. Thank you for all the material you gave us. Thank you for giving me no reservations, and thank you for giving me a passion in my life that I'll have for the rest of my life and help me feed my family and showing me that there's more out there than McDonald's. Exactly.
And we love you, Wise. Keep getting wiser. Knowledge is power.
Well, we're the wise guys. We say the things you don't want to say. Right.